Verulam Sports.
Hello again and welcome to Verulam Sports Podcasting. This is Tony Rice. I'm really excited, Tony Rice, because we are joined by the amazing Kerry Cobb, who you will know and love from Good Morning St. Albans, and you may well know that she is our resident guru of all things petrol sport related. And Kerry, welcome.
Oh, what a welcome. Thank you so much, Tony. It's good to be here. I love my football and I love my motorsport. So I'm always listening to your show. So it's a honour to be on your show. Thank you.
Well, we're honoured to have you as our guru of F1. And of course, all things motorsport. I know not too long now until the return of British Superbikes, which I know is dear to your heart too.
Yeah, all things are starting to get going again, aren't they? The one that's really dear to me at the moment is the Le Mans race, which is due to take place in June. It takes place normally the second weekend in June every year. But this year it's been put back till the 21st of August, I think it is. And I've got everything crossed, Tony, that is going to go ahead. Because at the moment it's not sounding great, but...
It's one of the kind of feats of endurance in all of sport, isn't it? The Le Mans one. So we'll look forward to your views previewing that. Fingers crossed it gets in the diary. But what is not only in the diary, but is actually roared into life is the F1. And tell you what, Kerry, we were speaking previously about the hegemony that McLaren Mercedes had been enjoying in recent years. Of course, 7 straight titles, that's an F1 record. And of course, Stephen Inge's own Lewis Hamilton bidding for his 8th, 6 of those with McLaren. But it doesn't look like they're going to have it all their own way in the early doors of this season. Fill us in.
Oh my goodness me, what a start to this season. It has been absolutely thrilling. Now, Formula One in the past, you know, you can talk to people about Formula One. And in the past, people have accused it of being a bit processional, a bit boring. Oh no, not this season. This season is going to be great. So we've got, as you said, the fabulous Stevenage-born Lewis Hamilton driving for Mercedes. He's won 7 titles. He's been the one to beat for far too long now. Yeah. And nobody has really come close. And then 5 years ago, a young man called Max Verstappen came onto the scene and a few of us went, "Ooh, this guy's good." Mm-hmm. It's taken him a while, and it's not taken him a while. It's probably taken Red Bull a while to provide a car that's good enough to challenge Mercedes. But Red Bull Racing have come into it all guns blazing this season and gone to Lewis Hamilton. Right, you're going to have to work really hard this year.
But for the spectator, that's what we love, isn't it? We love it when it's ding-dong. My word. Let's go back to the start, though, and the first race out in Bahrain. Hamilton, again, bidding for that historic 8th F1 Drivers' Championship, got off to a flyer, again, in a thrilling race. Tell you what, Kerry, that was his first victory in the first race since 2016. So he laid his gauntlet down. But my word, talk to me about that thrilling conclusion.
Well, that was an interesting race because Max Verstappen could have won that race and it was very, very close. And that's when I think a lot of people sat up and went, okay, yep, this is going to be good. But due to driver error, track limits, there's a lot of controversy around track limits, people passing when they shouldn't and should. Lewis Hamilton went on to win that race, but it was incredibly close. So it was interesting. And then what's happened this weekend, if I may go on to that.
You certainly can.
is that we went to Imola, of course, the scene of absolute devastation when 2 drivers, including the most famous Ayrton Senna, lost their lives there back in 1994. Imola, always a fantastic circuit, but hasn't been used in Formula One in recent seasons. So it was one good thing that came out of the coronavirus. And at Imola last weekend, we saw Lewis Hamilton get rattled for the first time in a very long time.
And it was Verstappen who took the checkered flag first and gets right in contention. But crucially, perhaps, in what looks like it's shaping up to be a titanic tussle between Hamilton and Verstappen, if the early going is anything to judge by, Hamilton did at Imola get the fastest lap, didn't he? So he's still a nose ahead at this moment in time in the driving standards.
Look, he is still the supreme boss of Formula One. He is the legend. You know, he is the one that's setting the bar that high for the rest of them to come and come at him. But Max Verstappen did come at him. Mm. He rattled him in the first race in Bahrain. Mm-hmm. But Lewis asserted his authority there. This time, he rattled Lewis Hamilton so much so that Lewis Hamilton made a mistake, an incredibly rare mistake for Lewis Hamilton, and that's what got Max the victory. So it is going to be so exciting, but not just with Red Bull Racing and Mercedes. What about young Lando Norris for McLaren?
Amazing, right? Another name that was going to be in there, but such a young talent. It's great to see different names on the podium, isn't it?
It's absolutely brilliant. And now, I have to name drop a little bit here. I interviewed young Lando when he was about 12 years old in karting. And I remember asking him at the time, what do you want to do? What do you want to do with your career? And he said, well, you know, like all boys, I want to mm-hmm. win. I want to drive in Formula One. And I said, well, yeah, you never know. Well, it might not be long. He said, well, look, yeah.
It goes to show, doesn't it? You dream it, you keep working at it. Anything's possible. Lando Norris getting a great third place at the historic and legendary Imola track. Just going back, though, to the first race out in Bahrain. As you rightly say, bit of controversy there. But they all know, don't they? They all know the regulations. I think it was impressed upon them again going into the race. So I guess I understand the controversy. And again, Verstappen took slightly wide route. But it's not like this is coming out the blue for them, is it?
It's one of those things, you know, Tony, sports people do it all the time. They push everything to the limit. They take those risks. That's what makes them at the top of their game.
Absolutely.
And they have to do that. They have to just give it a try and see whether they'll get away with it or whether they can kind of massage the rules just slightly, you know. And so you're always going to have that. And that's what's so brilliant this season is that, you know, all these things, track limits, DRS, all the things that they've brought in to make it a little bit more exciting have done exactly that. Frustrating sometimes, yes. And we saw it again at Imola with George Russell and Valtteri Bottas. You know, who was at fault? 50-50, one's blaming the other, you know, the other's blaming the other. It's the strategy, it's the risk, it's the choice they make.
But it's such a thrilling psychology, I think, for these prime athletes generally, but these guys in the F1 world, because they are going around tracks at serious speeds. They don't think about it, but as you say, in Imola, Senna passed away, and it's, you know, just the nature of the beast. So you have to have that single-minded determination, don't you? And of course, you're never wrong as an F1 star, are you?
I love that. What you've picked up on there, the psychology of it. These guys are incredibly clever guys. They're not just quick drivers. They're thinking all the time about strategy, about minute decisions that will give them a tenth of a second extra. And that tenth of a second could be the difference between winning and coming second or losing.
Well, case in point, wasn't it? Was that thrilling first race where I think there was only about 0.7 seconds between Hamilton and Verstappen?
And this is what we've got to remember. That's exactly right, Tony, is that between first and 10th, you're talking about like seconds.
Yeah.
You know, to you and me, it's the click of a finger. But to these guys, that is absolutely everything. It's pinpoint accuracy to hit that part of the track with that utter accuracy every time for an hour and a half or 2 hours.
Yeah.
You know, it's astonishing. Stunning. And the gravity that they go through when their heads are shaking, when they're going over those tracks.
And people don't realise, again, that the level of athleticism that all F1 stars have, you know, they really are prime-time athletes as well as tremendous drivers. I mean, just the G-forces you've alluded to, Kerry, but my goodness me, the amount of body weight they lose during the course of a race is absolutely ridiculous as well, isn't it?
Well, I wouldn't mind that bit, but I wouldn't like the G-force.
Hey, you love it, Kerry. You love a bit of speed.
That G-force that we're talking about, that kind of G-force that they put themselves through going up to 5G in a race, that would be enough to make you and I faint. We'd be out. We'd be out for the count. You know, that awful, awful incident with Romain Grosjean when he hit the barrier. 28 Gs, I think it was, went through his body at the moment of impact. You and I wouldn't have come out of that. We'd have gone, see you later.
And that's why I'm very pleased to be here in my nice little studio talking to your good self, Kerry.
Same here.
But yeah, what a thrilling start to the season. Look, sports broadcasters are prone to hyperbole. I'm sure I never fall foul of that one. But it does seem to me that this has been one of the most exciting starts to an F1 campaign for some time. Would you say that's fair, or are we falling into that sports journalist trap again?
No, I honestly, hand on heart, I've been watching Formula One since 21 years now. This is brilliant. This reminds me of Schumacher and Barrichello and the Ferrari boys back in the early 2000s. This is brilliant. I am a little bit cautious that we are doing it, only because Netflix have introduced their Drive to Survive series and we're all getting extremely excited. But actually, hand on heart, I can say this season is going to be thrilling.
You mentioned there a name that absolutely resonates, runs through, is always going to be associated with F1, Schumacher. Of course, Lewis Hamilton bidding for his 8th level at the moment with Michael Schumacher. And young Mick Schumacher is in the game. He's finished the first race, and notable stars, you know, Alonso, a 2-time winner, didn't finish out in Bahrain. I don't think he finished at Imola. But what's your take so far on young Schumacher? And of course, the pressure he must be feeling to fill those massive boots.
You know what? I think actually everyone in the Formula One paddock has handled that very, very well. I mean, sometimes, you know, the last two races, I've looked up and seen SCH or whatever his 3-letter code is and just thought, it's Michael Schumacher. And then, no, it's Mick Schumacher. You've got to try and remember it's not Michael Schumacher. He's got a, you know, he's driving for Haas. They haven't got best car. And actually, I think it's really nice that he hasn't gone straight into McLaren or Mercedes or Red Bull. You know, he's started off in a smaller team, a less well-known car, and that will give him time to find his feet. And I really like that. I think that's really important, because if there was too much pressure put on him, it would be too much, wouldn't it? It would be way too much for him.
I can only imagine the pressure that is, though, because just being human, you want to do well for your family name. You want to, of course, that legacy that Schumacher has put out there must be so intense for the young man, but handling it well. And I like the way you frame that. I think you're right. It's a very good apprenticeship for him, and we'll see how he progresses. But progressing on, F1 will and must. And the third race in the calendar is going to be back end of this month and into the 2nd of May out in Portugal. Thrilling start so far in the first two. What do you see happening in race 3? Another Verstappen win, or Hamilton bouncing back, or somebody else?
Oh, it's so, I mean, and that's the first time we've been able to say that for such a long time, isn't it? Normally it's just like, yeah, Lewis is going to win again. But actually, what we forgot to mention just there before we move on to Portimao is Ferrari doing really well at Imola as well, finishing 4th and 5th with their new boys. They're very, very young boys. So
Leclerc's got a future, I think, you know, but it's good to see the other guy that you were maybe lukewarm to showing good things so far. Of course, I know you are a big lover of the Italian brand there, the famous Ferrari, but I would suggest, as objectively, F1 needs a strong Ferrari. So you're right, Kerry. Great to see them showing great guns so far.
Yeah, two really young lads. So Charles Leclerc, as you've mentioned, really, really promising young driver. Carlos Sainz, he was at McLaren last season. He's now at Ferrari. Two very young lads, and the cars are doing great. So 4th and 5th for them at Imola after a really miserable season last year has been brilliant. So with that in mind, going to Portimao, which is another brilliantly fast track, and hopefully the tarmac has bedded in this year, because it was a little bit dicey last year. Do I have to call it?
Let's go for it, Kerry. You are of F1 guru.
My heart is saying Max is going to really take this to Lewis again, but I think Lewis has made his one mistake of the season. I can't see him making many more. It's going to be a very tough battle.
It's going to be a tough battle all season. It's making for fantastic viewing. Really excited for that. Got a feeling Hamilton will do the business at Portugal. But one thing that is very clear, he is going to be pushed to the max, so to speak, by Max Verstappen all season long. Hey, Kerry, it's awesome to talk with you as our F1 guru and indeed all things petrol sport. But it's always awesome to hear your great work and your fantastic team. People forget what a team sport F1 is, of course. With the Good Morning St. Albans gang, going from strength to strength, growing and developing. Just give us an insight into how fun it is and how much appreciation you've got for the rest of your team there.
Do you know what? I love the Good Morning St. Albans team because, you know, I was doing it on my own and then these fantastic new people came in, took the helm, took a lot of the pressure off of me. And we're all having such a great time. We're all doing very similar things. We're all doing the national days. We're all doing a little inspiring quote. We're all having a little bit of a quiz. But everyone's got their own little spin on it. Mm-hmm. So every morning, it's really lovely to hear a different voice on Good Morning St. Albans. And I have to say a massive thank you to our sponsors, the Maltings Shopping Centre, which I'm incredibly pleased to say they're open again now.
Yay. Absolutely fantastic. And you can say that one more time, Kerry, because it doesn't get old to me.
Good Morning St. Albans, sponsored by the Maltings Shopping Centre.
Hey, there we go. What can I say? It's been a real pleasure and a joy to talk with you tonight. I will let you go too. And enjoy some good family time. And I just want to say all the very best. Keep up the wonderful work that you just do, not just for Radio Verulam, but for all things Kerry Cobb's World. Have a good one.
Thank you, Tony. And the same to you. Right back at you, mate.